mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved, the words we consider this day are from the Holy Gospel according to Blessed Saint Luke, the 19th chapter, as read previously. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is truly a great honor and joy to be with you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who are disciples of the Lord Jesus here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church, and to visit an old and dear friend, Reverend Father Charles McLean, and to stay with Paul and Mary Tecco at their home. As you know, your pastor is one of the foremost liturgiologists in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Simply put, that means that he is an expert in liturgy, hymns, and worship, and a scholar, and a wonderful, humble pastor. Thank you for inviting me here today to be with you. I'm a retired pastor and a bishop president emeritus of the non-geographic English district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, found in 21 different states and the Canadian province of Ontario from coast to coast, and from Naples, Florida, all the way up to the upper Ottawa River Valley opposite Quebec in Pembroke, Ontario. It's a joy to be with you. And today marks the 90th anniversary of your house of worship. Beloved, this is a milestone. You were originally a congregation of the English district. However, in 1939, the English district ceded 38 congregations in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and North and South Carolina to start the Southeastern District. Now relax. I'm not here to take you away from the Southeastern District, which is the daughter district of the English District. But I must bring some wonderful history to you, of which your congregation is an important part. Now, today's gospel is the well-known story of Zacchaeus and of the Lord Jesus, recorded in the 19th chapter of Luke's gospel account. And of course, you know the story, and we heard it before, that Zacchaeus climbed up into a sycamore tree. That's significant, because the sycamore tree is the historic symbol of the English district. But first some history, and then we'll get to this great Bible story. Our sermon theme today is actually a takeoff from the sermon theme preached here in 1930, 90 years ago. Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church was founded and organized in 1892. I hope you can keep all these dates straight. It was organized in 1892 by Pastor William Dahlman, who was born in Germany in 1862. Our Savior was still part of the English district in 1930 when this beautiful house of worship was dedicated. Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church, as noted before, was founded by Pastor Dahlman, and it was called Emmanuel English. But then in that same founding year of 1892, took the name of Jackson Square Evangelical Lutheran Church, and your congregation hosted the first full convention of the English Evangelical, of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But back then, the English District had been the English Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri and other states, which paralleled the German Missouri Synod known as Die Deutsche Evangelische Lutherische Synod von Missouri, Ohio und anderen Staaten. It's a mouthful. Translated, the German Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states. But yet, as World War I approached, and just before the United States entered into World War I, the German Missouri Synod, of which the English district was now a part, the German Missouri Synod dropped the word German and just simply called itself, in English, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states. Well, Dr. Dahlmann was born in Germany, but came to the United States when he was very young. So he was totally fluent in German and in English. And he served as the second president of the English Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri and other states from 1899 to 1901. He was a relatively young man at that time. And he was a leader when the English district, or the English Synod, came into union with the German Missouri Synod. That was 1911, May 15th, 1911. Well, Dahlmann was himself an expert in hymnody, and he was the one probably most responsible for the first Missouri Synod Lutheran English hymnal in 1912, the year that your congregation hosted the first full English District Convention. While serving in Milwaukee, see, he had been a pastor in Baltimore, and then he became a pastor in New York City, and then, well, previous to all that, he was a circuit rider out in Kansas and western Missouri after graduating from the seminary in 1886. But he then served here in Baltimore, and then he served in New York City, and then in Milwaukee. And while he was in Milwaukee, he was actually one of the vice presidents of the Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But he came here 90 years ago today to preach at the dedication of this wonderful, wonderful house of worship. And his sermon theme was Confessing Christ in Augsburg, Germany, in 1530, and in Baltimore in 1930. So now, 90 years later, the sermon theme that I'm using today in proclaiming God's word to you is entitled Confessing Christ in Wittenberg in 1520 and in Baltimore in 2020, 500 years later. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Friends, when we confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in worship, thought, words, and deeds, we are at the same time seeking the lost. We are seeking the lost, for that is what our Lord did. So listen up. Do you love to pay taxes? How would you like to pay a whole lot more taxes? How about if you had to pay even more of your income in taxes, and for no reason than, let's say, your local Baltimore tax collector wanted a lot more money from you, and for no fair reason than lining her pockets or his pockets. Now you see the problem in today's story. The Jewish tax collectors in Christ's time, under the Roman rule in Palestine, were reputed to be thieves. They were in cahoots with the Roman government and the Roman soldiers. And so they would extort more money than was proper or honest from their own fellow countrymen. But our story today begins with Zacchaeus seeking Jesus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. In fact, he was very rich. So Jesus comes seeking Zacchaeus, though Zacchaeus does not know that. Now, earlier in Luke's gospel account, in the 15th chapter, Jesus talks about the lost in what I sometimes like to call the three lost parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son or prodigal son. Just before encountering Zacchaeus, though, and that's in chapter 19, Jesus has restored a blind beggar's sight. His last miracle before entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Well, Zacchaeus is a man lost in his wealth and self-importance. You know the story of little Zacchaeus. He was a short man, and he heard that Jesus was coming to town, to Jericho. Jericho, which sits at about 700 feet below sea level by the Jordan River, so it's pretty warm there. But nevertheless, little Zacchaeus, because he's short and he wants to see Jesus and can't because of the crowd, he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was lost. But a little side note first, friends, and that little side note is this, that Zacchaeus in climbing up into a sycamore tree, well, that was the type of tree found in the Holy Land and in rural Missouri, where the English district actually began. And the symbol of the English district, as I've got on this ring that I wear, is a double-trunked sycamore tree to represent the English Missouri Synod and its 34 times larger German Missouri Synod, side by side, but with common roots together in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the Lutheran confessions, and with a beautiful canopy of branches and trees to represent the growth of Christ's church and reaching the lost for Christ, becomes a powerful symbol. But Zacchaeus, he is seeking Jesus. Do you know someone who is seeking Jesus? For you, that person who is seeking might be an unchurched coworker. It might be a disgruntled family member. It might be a skeptical friend at school or at college. It might be your neighbor who has issues. God grant that we are like our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the lost, including those seeking Jesus right here in Greater Baltimore, but not knowing where to find him. So now we move to the second part of the story. Jesus has a divine appointment at Zacchaeus' home. Our Lord's ministry included fellowship with sinners, just as if they had COVID. St. Luke, guided by the Spirit, records, "And when Jesus came to the place, to that sycamore tree, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they," that is the Jewish people of Jericho, "saw it, they all grumbled, 'He," that is Jesus, "has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Can you imagine Zacchaeus' excitement that Jesus of Nazareth wants to visit him at his home? Zacchaeus was probably used to people commenting about him, Jericho's chief tax collector, Mr. Cheat number one. As usual, the Jews grumbled about Jesus having table fellowship with tax collectors and other sinners. But eating at the home of Zacchaeus, Jesus would have become the equivalent of Zacchaeus, a sinner and an outcast. But what Luke is not led to tell us by the Holy Spirit was the content of their conversation. If Jesus had an appointment at your house tomorrow evening, what might he find in your family room, your man cave, or bedroom? What might he find in the recesses of your soul? I know what he would find in mine: dark secrets, wickedness, and a sin against all 10 of the 10 commandments, if not in deed, then certainly in word or thought. And you would be no different, dear friend. Our hearts and minds are evil apart from God's grace-filled intervention in Jesus Christ. But back to the story. Part 3. Jesus reveals his saving mission. For now he's had this conversation with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus becomes a changed man. "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold.'" 4 times the amount of what he may have defrauded someone. Someone changed Zacchaeus from being a worshiper of himself and his wealth to being a redeemed son of Abraham, a child of God, baptized into a new faith in God, a penitent whose generosity now overflows because of the forgiveness of sins extended to him by his Lord and Savior. Notice how Zacchaeus is now confessing Christ Jesus. He calls him Lord. In the story of Zacchaeus, the coming of Jesus as a guest is the means by which God's kingdom comes to Zacchaeus. Through his holy word and sacraments, the living Lord Jesus comes to you, to me, to all of us. He comes in his very presence with the forgiveness of sins and the healing of our souls. He comes and imparts life with God, peace with God, joy in the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, salvation full and free, the promise of eternal life, and the joy of being together with brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord Jesus comes to us in his word and sacraments. The climax of the Zacchaeus story, then, are these words of the Lord Jesus: "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation, that is, being saved from sins and the wages of sin, which is death. Salvation came to Zacchaeus because of the unflagging love of the sinless Lamb of God. Not just the Zacchaeuses of this world, but you and I would be lost, trapped in the relentless perils of our sins had not the Lord Jesus come to rescue us. Praise God that he seeks you. He finds you. He cleanses you and me. Cleanses us of our sins in his redeeming blood. Today, the word Jesus uses, today, the era of God's salvation is present not just in Zacchaeus' home, but in our homes and hearts, and proclaimed in this 90-year-old house of worship. Here is where infants, youth, and adults are brought into God's family through the waters of holy baptism, as we sang in the hymn of the day. Here is where we confess Christ in 2020, just as Martin Luther did in 1520, 500 years ago, in his three great theologically defining theses that confessed Christ, to be followed 10 years later by the unaltered Augsburg Confession, UAC. Be sure to check your cornerstone today. Here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Churches, we're God's people. Listen to the Word of God proclaimed faithfully in law and gospel, convicting us of our sins, our failures, our trespasses and transgressions, but emancipating us with the sweet gospel of forgiveness and life in Christ. Here we sinners, sinner saints, receive the Holy Supper of our Lord's very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Here at Our Savior, in your everyday life, and especially right here, is where we are confessing Christ. As the family of God, we as living stones, and look about you at the beautiful stones in this house of prayer. We as living stones are connected to Jesus Christ and empowered to live in faith and confess him to the world. In confessing Christ, we are engaged in his mission of seeking the lost. If we are faithful to that task, even as we are faithful in what we believe, teach, and confess, the Lord of the church will continue to bless you. Let us then live, confess, serve, worship, and seek with words and deeds of mercy in that hope in our living Lord Jesus. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.